Stand with me, if you would, for a little bit. Mark chapter number 6. Glad that you're here today. Very glad that you made it. And for those that might be joining us online, I hope we can be a blessing to them as well. But more than anything else, I pray that God is here. That's what we want. We want the Lord to show up. Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 6. And let me just ask this question. Has anybody here ever had a sleepless night? Okay. It was like, I take that as an amen. with groanings that cannot be uttered, you know. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. I would take that as a witness that we've got some folks in the room that know what it's like to go without sleep. If you've had children, you're going to know what it's like to go without sleep, especially when they're first born. The blessing comes years later when they are able to serve you, but man, the first couple years of their life, it's all about taking care of them. Whatever the reasoning behind something keeping you up at night, here's what I know. Most people in this room, if you haven't yet, you're going to experience something that keeps you awake at night. It could be a loved one. It could be a financial burden. It could be a broken relationship. It could be being out of fellowship with God. It could simply be you ate pizza at midnight. And that's where the sisters at EK are like, amen. That's right. I heard the amen over there. But know this, at some point in your life, if you haven't yet, even if you're younger, you're going to experience, not because you played video games till 5 in the morning or anything like that, but you're going to experience something that keeps you up at night. I think it's part of the human experience. Like, going without sleep is something that people did throughout the Bible. Look at Mark chapter 6, and we're going to kind of take a unique angle on this thought. Look at Mark chapter 6. Because I guess I'll say it this way. We talk about things that keep us up, and we will. What keeps the Lord up at night? Well, he's eternal. He's without time and space and matter, and he's God. Yeah, but he dips into time and space and matter to deal with us. Look at Mark chapter 6, and look, if you would, at verse 45. And straightway, that's kind of like saying right away, immediately. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. Now the people were there because Jesus had just performed the miracle of feeding 5,000 people. So to say that there was a lot of people there and he had a lot of work to do is kind of dismissive. What he actually does is he does something for the sake of his disciples, and he tells them, look, I've got 5,000 people here that you helped me get seated in ranks of 50s and in rows of people and get everything organized. I know you guys are tired. You guys go ahead. Isn't that just like the Lord? You guys go ahead and jump in the ship. You guys get in the boat and go to the other side. I'll take care of this mess. You guys go. That's like the Lord for us. And he's doing that with his disciples. Look, if you would, at verse number 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to do what? Pray. And when even, that's an older way of saying evening. So now we're getting into nighttime. Bear with me, we're going somewhere. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them. Now, what is he doing on that mountain? What is he doing?
Praying.
He's praying. And he saw them. I appreciate the fact that the Lord can pray with his eyes open. Amen. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night. You say, what is that? That's about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. This is a long night. You ever had a long night?
Yep.
The fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. "It is I, be not afraid." And he went up into them in the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Tim if you would. Is Brother Tim here? Okay. All right. Hey, Brother Tim, if you'd open us up in a word of prayer. Yep. Help her, Lord. Yep. Yes. Bless her. Help her, Lord. Please. Amen. Be seated if you would. I kind of need to explain a couple things before I this sermon can make any sense. Before we can understand chapter 6, this is not a really deep thought, but I think it is something that must be done. Before you understand chapter 6, you kind of have to look at chapters 4 and 5. And I'm going to have you look back. I'm not going to read all the verses, but look at back at chapter 4. And look, if you would, somewhere around verse number 35. And you're going to notice that it kind of is similar to chapter number 6 that we're in that there's a storm that takes place at the end of the chapter. Look at verse 35. "And when even was come, and the Lord said, let us pass over to the other side," you say, what happens? Well, the Lord's actually in the ship with them this time. And this was a long night as well, because they get out there and they're fighting that storm. They're doing all that they can to move the ship in the right direction. And eventually they wake the Lord up and they say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And they wake him up and he gets up and he says, "Peace, be still." And of course that storm is calm. Then you get into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, when they get to the other side, you say, what do they find there? They find a maniac. And actually, if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, what you find out is that there's two of those guys. There's only one that's mentioned in Mark. And I believe that the reason for that is this. I believe that sometimes God likes to single out the individual. Aren't you thankful God looks out for you as an individual? He doesn't just treat you as part of a corporate crowd. Even though there's everyone in this room right now, there's maybe 100 plus people in this room, but guess what? God wants to talk to you. Amen. And that's a very significant thing when you look at the Bible, that God will single someone out. And he does that in chapter 5. But who is this maniac? He's the guy that they could not tame, and he's got chains on him, and he rips him off. And the Bible says he cuts himself with stones. It's a sign of hatred of self and of infliction of pain. And I've got to atone for my own sins, and I hate myself. And he's got demons and devils inside of him, and he finds no rest day or night. And they try education, and they try religion, and they try everything, and nothing heals him till he meets Jesus Christ. That's the backdrop to all of this. And then once that's taken care of, they go back to the other side, and there's a woman that touches the hem of Jesus' garment in chapter 5. There's the ruler of the synagogue's daughter who is raised from the dead. And in chapter 6, he goes into his own area, and no mighty works were done there because of their unbelief. And he sends out his disciples, and they go out, and they preach the gospel of the kingdom, and they go out preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course, we understand doctrinally, it's not exactly the same message that we preach today, but they are commissioned by the Lord nonetheless. What I'm getting at is there's a lot going on in chapters 4, 5, and 6. They're busy, and they're going, and you know what happens when you go? And you go, and you go. You know what you eventually need? Rest. Your body is not made to go forever and ever and ever without rest. You are not the same person when you don't get sleep. Can I get a witness? Man, I tell you what, if you don't amen yourself, I'll find your spouse or your parent or your sibling, and they'll amen it for me. When you don't have sleep, you make poor decisions. You say things that you wouldn't normally say. You might even get up in the middle of the night and yell at your husband in his sleep and in your sleep. You never know. I mean, when you, listen, I'm going to throw this out there right now. You may or may not remember the story of Hannah in the Old Testament, the one that bears Samuel, her son, as a miracle before the Lord. Anybody remember that story? That's where we get the idea of dedicating our children. Do you guys remember that Hannah, listen, this is a recipe for disaster is to have more than one wife. Amen, amen. And amen. Every time in the Old Testament, you read these stories about men that have, you know, multiple wives, it does not come. It's not like they're like seeing her, oh, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Can you imagine you remember one of the wives' birthdays, you forget the other one? I mean, you read the Old Testament, and it's people go, oh, God wasn't okay with it. He just said, I'm not going to kill him for it. That's the only difference. But he wasn't a fan of it, because in the New Testament, the model goes back. He says, hey, one man, one woman, like I started this whole thing off, and the picture is Adam and Eve and Christ and the church. You know what Hannah has? She has an enemy. She has an adversary. Peninnah has kids, man. I mean, Elkanah, the husband, just looks at Peninnah, boom, she's pregnant. Hannah? Can't have a baby. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Elkanah loved her and he gave her a worthy portion. You know what she had? She had the love of her husband that could not be bought. And Peninnah, the other wife, you know what she did because she could have children? She rubbed it in Hannah's face. I'm going to just throw this out there. Ladies, you could kind of be nicer to your own kind every once in a while, all right? Because I'm just going to throw this out there. Sometimes you're kind of mean to your own kind, all right? But she just, oh, come on, don't look at me like that. All you ladies are like, I'm not amening that one. You should amen that one. Guilty, you know? I mean, here's this woman, and she wants that baby so badly, so desperately. And you know what happens? She goes and she pours her heart out to God. Do you remember what it says when she shows up at the temple? What does Eli accuse her of at first? You know what drunk people have? Bloodshot eyes. You know what people have that can't sleep? Mm-hmm. Do you know what happens when you don't sleep? You slur your words. Yeah. Oh, maybe not in the manner of this, but you slur them. Yeah. And it's like something's off. And so she goes to the temple brokenhearted. Why? She's lost some sleep over that. I mean, doesn't the Bible say in the beginning God does all this stuff? He creates everything, and he speaks this, and he divides the light from the darkness, and he calls the evening, the morning and the evening the first day, and he calls the light day, and he calls the darkness night. He does all this stuff. And on the seventh day, what does God do? He doesn't do that because God's like, woo, that was a lot of work. You know why he does that? He does that as a pattern to show us that following activity comes a time of rest. Because while he is a spirit, we are not just a spirit. We are in this mortal body, and you need sleep and you need rest. Matter of fact, you know what happens when you don't sleep? Memory loss. That's what's wrong with men in general, amen? You know, it's like, don't you remember? And I just haven't slept in 24 years. Amen. That's how long we've been married. That was a joke, guys. All right. You know what happens when you don't sleep? You know what happens? Seriously. As you get older, you don't sleep. You know what it's easier to do? Gain weight. You need sleep. Matter of fact, when you sleep well, they did a study and they showed that people that were overweight and then did a sleep study and they found a way to sleep longer, took in less calories in the day. Why? Because oftentimes what you're doing is you're trying to make up for what your body is craving, and what it doesn't get in sleep, you try to consume in food. That's just a physiological thing. I'm going to say this as well. Emotionally, guys, when Elijah is running for his life and he's sitting under a juniper tree, the Bible says, he says something along these lines. I'm not better than my fathers, and I wish in myself that I could die. God, kill me. Does it not say that in 1 Kings 19? You know what the Lord tells him? Oh, Elijah, you just need a nappy, bud. And he takes a nap. True story or not? He takes a nap, then he gets up, and the Lord's like, oh, you need to eat, buddy. And the Lord feeds him, and he rests, and he gets up, and he goes for 40 days off the strength of that meat and that rest. You know what God was saying? Hey, man, here's this guy who, listen, Two chapters earlier, he's standing on top of a hill calling out the prophets of Baal and making fun of him. He's like, hey, your God go for a vacation? Hey, maybe you should scream louder. Maybe cut this side of the arm instead of that side. Maybe your God's going for a stroll. Maybe your God's shopping. And he's laughing at them and mocking them. And the Lord's like, I kind of find this entertaining. And you know what he does? He goes, if the Lord be God, choose him. If God be God, choose him. You know what that is? That's the mindset of a clear person. Someone with clear thinking. Then 400 prophets of Baal, they kill, he has to go through and wipe. Now listen, you don't think about this. You read your Bible. Do you know what it takes out of you to grab a sword? I'm not talking about a gun, boom, boom, boom. I'm talking about a sword and going through and fighting with men. Not limp-wristed whatever's out there these days. I'm talking about men. And they're fighting you, and you're fighting them, and you got to kill 400 of those dudes, and you're slain, and blood's everywhere, and your adrenaline's like this, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I went through all of that. I called fire down from heaven. Surely the people of God are going to repent, and they're going to turn back to God. You know what he was carrying? The burden of expectation. I expect that God's going to work things out this way. I expect that the results are going to be in this light and it's going to turn out this way because this is what I'm doing. I'm doing all I can to bring about that result. Well, guess what? You don't control the results. You know what happens when Elijah realizes that his expectation doesn't meet God's reality and he gets a letter, he gets a tweet, he gets a text message, I don't know, whatever it is these days, he gets something from Jezebel and it says, you're a dead man. And he runs for his life. That's what the book says. Now, this guy that calls fire down from heaven, that guy that calls fire down from heaven, the Bible says he went on his own journey. He went himself a day's journey into the wilderness. Guess what that means? When you go a day's journey, buddy, you're going at night. And you're not sleeping. And all of a sudden, the same guy that calls fire down from heaven and kills 400 dudes, he gets a text message from a woman. He's like, I want to die. You say, why? He's not thinking clearly. Why? No sleep. They say you can have greater athletic performance if you rest. No, duh. Lower risk of heart disease. More emotional and social intelligence. Let me translate what that means. That's fluffy talk for you're not a jerk. Amen. They say when you sleep more regularly, you prevent depression. In 2016, they did a study, and they concluded that insomnia is significantly associated. You know why people are like that right now? Because you're constantly staring at a screen, and you'll stay up way past your bedtime, scrolling, doing your thing, looking at this, looking at that. And where you started, look at a text message. Has anybody ever been there? You legitimately said, okay, someone wrote me, I got to write them back, and all of a sudden, you got sucked in the vortex of people's reels and things that cats can do that you never thought they could. And it's 2 a.m. and you're not sleeping. But now your mind is like, psh, like Kramer from Seinfeld, like this. Emotionally and spiritually, you're like this. And it's 2, 3, 4 a.m. and you're not sleeping. God didn't design your body to do this all the time. Sometimes you're up because of burdens of expectation, sometimes because of hope that never turns into reality, Hannah. Sometimes you're up because of physical reasons. Sometimes you're up because you're distracted by the wrong things. But I'll tell you this, at some point in your life, you're going to be up at night. They say that you can have a stronger immune system if you sleep. Now, I'm not going to preach the gospel of healthy living and all that stuff, so some of you that are nervous about that, just calm down. But I will say this, if you actually track moments in your life where you're actually losing weight and burning through calories and building muscle, do you know what's associated with that? Sleep. Yep. You know what the opposite does? Your body starts shutting down thinking, I'm dying. Yeah. Yep. And I'm going to hold on to that sugar like I've never held on to it before. Why? Because that sugar is my life. It'll keep me alive. That's what your body thinks. Yeah. That's why people, when you don't sleep, it's easier to gain weight. This is all, you say, why, Pastor, why are you mentioning all this? I'm trying to simply say we are made to eventually have to rest. Someone that wants to rest without work is lazy, but someone that wants to work constantly without rest is unbalanced. You know, I think about this. Can you imagine? After God made Adam and Eve, no sin, right? And the evening and the morning were the first day before Adam and Eve show up. Am I right about that? Mm-hmm. All right, so imagine they go to bed and they lie down. I mean, can you imagine? They just kind of like lie back and the trees catch them. Amen. The vines kind of just come over and just go, yeah, here you go. Man, it's about 70 degrees all day, even throughout the night. It's just perfect. And maybe God just, when he walks in that garden, just sends a nice little cool breeze through there. And there's no shelter. There's no house. Why would you need a house? Who wants to pay mortgage in the Garden of Eden? I mean, it's a perfect existence, and there they are. And imagine this. There's no wildlife. Listen, there's been times where here, out where we live, there's coyotes. That is one of the most eerie. They're kind of like jackals, like hyenas, and they kind of make this noise. And it's very tribal. It's very eerie when you hear it because you can't see them, but you know that they're there. You say, what do? I get down and I pray. All of a sudden it gets real quiet. I'm like, okay, I feel better, you know. I'm in the country. I don't live in Aurora. Calm down. My neighbors, when they hear, they're like, praise God. Amen. Second Amendment. Good. You hear it in a roar. It's like, oh, no, what's going on? You know? True story. Can you imagine, though, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were drove out of the garden, God places a cherubim there with a flaming sword to keep the way of the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life. I don't know. In my mind, it's kind of like they're just standing there. You can't come anymore. You can't come this way. You say, what was it? That was a place of perfect rest. Can you imagine the first night after sin? What's that sound? Was it? Oh, oh, oh. It didn't sound like that before. I swear they used to sing. They were harmonizing before. If serpents can talk, why not? I mean, maybe they did, right? And I mean, maybe they sang at night. Maybe the birds literally sang, and they sang a song, and they sang it in praise to God, and nothing was vile, and nothing would hurt them. And now all of a sudden, they're like, we got to find shelter. And he's like, why do we need a house? He's like, don't you hear that? Well, yeah, I hear that, but what is it? I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. That's the first night after sin. I don't think, look, I can't prove it, but I kind of think in my mind, the way I see it is, they didn't sleep like they used to sleep. All of a sudden, they hear a noise like, what's that? I don't know. I'm not sure what that is, but it doesn't sound good. Nothing sounded good after sin. You know what they missed out on? Perfect rest. One time, Pharaoh has a bad dream. Remember that? 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows. And all the ladies are like, the 7 skinny ones sound good. No, it was death. Wasn't weight loss, it was death. It was bad. Skim milk, bad, okay? You know, one time Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians, lost sleep. You know why? He had a man he respected and loved named Daniel. And while Darius did not worship Daniel's God, he'd been watching him for a while. And Darius was not the first king to preside over Daniel. You have to understand that Daniel, as a young man, was taken in captivity to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar was the king. And eventually Nebuchadnezzar's son lost that kingdom, and Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians, came in. And eventually Darius is the king over all of that land. That stuff stretches all the way out. We have some sweet brothers in Christ from India. That kingdom stretched all the way out almost to where India is at today. It was a huge kingdom. And one time, the legislators and the senators did a dirty thing, and they got together and they wrote a bill. And they said, King, you need to sign this bill. And they said, if anyone worships any other god, you're going to throw in the lion's den. He's like, that sounds good to me. Then he realizes he kind of got set up. And you see what happens? Well, they roll a stone away from a hole, kind of like a couple hundred years later they do with a man named Jesus Christ. And they throw Daniel into that lion's den. And at first, they don't hear anything. They're going, that's not how that normally works. Normally, you hear roaring, and before they even hit the ground, there's the sounds of bones being crushed and screams of torture. But they heard none of that. But for sure, you know what Darius thought? He's a dead man. You know what the Bible says about Darius? He could not sleep that night. One time. Oh, by the way, it ends well. Daniel's still alive. He worshiped the right God. Amen. Yeah. One time, Ahasuerus could not sleep. The Bible says his sleep went from him. You know what Ahasuerus does? Ahasuerus was the king then, and the kingdom of the kingdom of the Medes later on. You know what he does? He ends up, he couldn't sleep. So what does he do? He pulls out a book of Chronicles. Anybody ever tried that before? Yeah. Usually works pretty well, amen. This time we got this guy, and this guy we got this guy. And you know, don't look at it like super spiritual. Oh, preacher, don't you? I know what, there's some really good stuff in there, but when it's like 10 o'clock at night and you can't sleep, you don't count sheep, you read Chronicles. You know what it says? He found a story about these guys that were looking out for him in his kingdom. And he said, I got to do something for this guy, Mordecai. All because he couldn't sleep. God showed him something when he couldn't sleep. There's all kinds of things that happen when we don't sleep. Let me ask you a question. Simple question. What keeps you up at night? I'm a father of children. After four, why do you keep, why count? You know, it's, you walk into a restaurant after church and like a party of eight, they're like, well, how many? Like, I came from another planet, you know? No, it's our, there's one family, you know? But I got older daughters. I'll tell you what keeps me up at night. No offense, there's some really good young men in here. I'm not picking on them. You know what keeps me up at night? Looking at the generation that we're in. Going, who's gonna be a good man that's gonna lead my daughter the right way? Yeah. I'm being honest and vulnerable with you. I lose sleep over it. Yeah. I've cried over it. It breaks my heart. Yeah. What keeps you up at night? I'm thankful that when I can't sleep, I've got company. I've got someone that stays up with me. You guys remember the story of Peter denying the Lord? Sitting at that fire. You're one of them. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. How do you know? It says right here, Jesus has 12 followers on Instagram, and you're one of them. And he's like, no, that's that different Peter. It says Simon Peter. Isn't that your name? Yeah, that's my cousin. You know, that's not me. Maybe he's like, you're kind of like Hispanics. Adrián, Adriana, Ariana, Adrián, you know. The Bible says that the moment he denies the Lord, that cock crows and his eyes lock with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Peter slept really well that night? You ever think about it? I think Peter went home and he, every time he closes his eyes, it's the face of Jesus. And every time he tries to turn over, he goes, okay, I'll just start counting sheep. And he goes, one Lamb of God, two Lamb of God. And he can't sleep. When we don't sleep, we make poor decisions. The Lord offers rest. And let me say this, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He did not come simply to make our physical lives better. I will tell you, I have a better life because of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand, He didn't just come to take my bills and my health problems. And by His stripes, I am healed. But that healing doesn't come to full fruition until I receive another body. Until I hit the other side of this life, this thing called eternity. Now, if you're here and you've never met Jesus Christ, you know what He says? Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know what that means? Just kind of like this. I've got this burden on my back, and I am tired of carrying it. You say, what is that? It's the burden of sin. Yep. And man, you go to the gym, and you go, look at how much I can squat. Let me tell you something. You may show that off, but man, when you get under the burden of sin, it's not fun. Yeah. You know what He says? That sleeplessness that comes from guilt in your conscience, from defiling your conscience and going against the God of this universe, He says, I'll take all of that guilt off of your shoulder. Yeah. And man, I'll carry that. You say, what does He say? Ye shall find rest for your souls. So let me ask you, what keeps you up at night? Can I just say this? You know what keeps up the Lord at night? My storms. Look at our main passage. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Can I just point out one more time? Look at verse number 48. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse number 48. Can I point out that in verse 48 it says it's about the fourth watch of the night. That's about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. You know what that is? That is the darkest time of night. It is essentially the time before the sun comes up. It is the darkest time of the night. You say, what is that? You are in the deepest, darkest moment of night. Can I ask you a question? Wasn't the Lord, doesn't the Bible say that he saw them? Yep. Why doesn't the Lord just come right away? You know what I want? I believe the Lord wants to show us that if you go an entire night without sleep and you're fighting the elements of this life and you're trying to point your ship in the right direction, listen, he'll stay up with you all night long. And not only that, he'll show up. I just love what it says in verse 48 at the beginning, though. It says that he saw them. I love that. You know why? It shows me he's watching when I don't even know that he's there. The Bible says that he had gone to pray, and yet he's looking out for them. Look in verse 48. Can I say this as well? He moves for me in the night. The Bible says in verse 48 that the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. I'm glad God sees me. I'm glad God moves for me. Look in verse 49. I'm glad God hears me when I cry out. I'm glad in verse 50 that immediately he talked with them, and he said to them, be of good cheer. I'm thankful that he talks back. I'm thankful that I can pray and cry out, but my God's alive, and he talks back to me in the middle of my storm. God does that for me. When I'm up, he's up. I'm thankful for that. Can I say this? He encourages me. He says in verse 50, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Can I show you in verse 51? He comes near unto me when I need him most. He's willing to climb into my ship, and he teaches me. Look at verse 52. He's trying to show them, hey, you almost missed out on me. Why? Because your hearts were hard. You know what I remember? I remember Paul. He's an apostle born out of due time. And you know what the Bible says about him? He wasn't one of those original apostles that was in the ship. He didn't get to experience that. But let me just say this. Experiencing the supernatural doesn't make you anything special. Listen to me. Hear me out. Judas did that. Are you with me? He raised the dead. Paul was not one that got to experience what it was like to be in that storm. Do you ever think when Paul got saved and all the guys like, hey, remember when Jesus did this? He's like, no. I mean, can you imagine? And they're like, oh, man, remember Peter's face? And Paul's like, I wish I was there. Right? It's what he says. I was as one born out of due time. I mean, you've been somewhere. I got together with some preachers this week, you know, and telling stories from Bible school is great. But, you know, like if you weren't there and you come in on the conversation, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, sounds great. You know, I'm not really sure what that's all about. And I believe Paul would have been just like that. Amen. You know what Paul probably said? Man, I wish I could be in a storm. And my boat was about to go down. The Lord's like, oh, really? Anybody ever read the book of Acts? So Paul's like, I feel like I've always missed out because you guys have all these great stories. And the Lord's like, it's okay. I've got some for you coming up. And so Paul gets on a boat, and you know the story. He's doing exactly what the disciples were doing. They were obeying the voice of the Lord. He had told them to go to the other side. They were in that ship. And so Paul, what does he do? Paul gets into a ship. Why? Because he's serving God. And on the way, that ship, what? It crashes, and they almost lose everything. You know what Paul says, though? Hey, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, he stood by me this night. Amen. And you know what he told him? Twice, once in Acts 23 and once in Acts 27 when he's in that storm. Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. You know what I'm thankful for? That when I'm up and I've got storms in my life, I'm thankful he's up with me. I'm thankful he doesn't say, well, you know, it's been a long day for me. Man, it's been real rough on me. You try answering the prayers of 6 billion people. you know, you try dealing with this, and then I send the rain so that this person can eat, and this person complains about the rain, and I send the drought so they have a relief from the flooding, and this person complains about the drought. I can't make anyone happy. I'm thankful God doesn't respond that way. I'm thankful that when I cry out in the middle of my storm, whatever is going on, he's like, yep, I'm with you. Well, Lord, don't you? Oh, yeah, I've been watching the whole time. As a matter of fact, child of mine, I've been watching from a higher vantage point. It says he went up on a mountain to pray. I've been watching from a place where I can see so much more than you can see in your little boat. I see the entire landscape from up here. And I'll be with you. I'm thankful that when I'm sleepless because of my storms, he's there. What keeps him up at night? You do. You keep the Lord up at night. Look at John chapter 13. He was up during my storm. Can I say this? He said, what kept him up at night when he was here? He was sleepless because of service. I look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I see a man. I see a real man. I mean, let's be honest, gentlemen, those of you that are married, you take out the trash and you're like, hey, babe, I'm just going to go out to take out the trash. And she's like, okay. And you're like, here I go. And you walk back in, oh, man, I sure am glad I got to take out the trash. And she's like, I wiped 10 diapers today and fed 4 children and talked to 2 that are out of the house and counseled them. You're like, well, I took out the trash. Look at John chapter 13. See, what keeps up the Lord at night? People that need to be served. John chapter 13, you say, what is this? This is the Last Supper. And John points things out that some of the other apostles in their writings and disciples don't. Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour, a specific time, was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. It says he loved them unto the end. You know who's in that them? That makes me want to throw up my mouth. Because, like, I'm not like him at all. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Preacher, I already know the story. I want you to consider something maybe you haven't thought about before. After that, he poureth water into a basin, verse 5, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You ever have someone ask questions that are like super obvious what the answer is? Yeah. You ever been in a room with someone like that? You ever been someone like that? Yeah. Like you ask the question and everyone's like, dude. Amen. Yep. Okay, the Lord comes and he starts washing Peter's feet. Lord, Peter's like, are you washing my feet? And John's like, I'm writing that one down. That has got to go in there. Right? And you know the story. He goes and he washes all their feet. Listen, I think you could have heard a pin drop. Why? Because everyone's like, oh, you ever been in a house of men? I'm talking, look, I got good friends. I love them. And some of them are neat, Nathan Gipp, and some of them are not, pretty much the rest of them. And I went into some of their rooms. I made a couple beds while I was, I was like, I have to do something. This is bad. If our wives see this, they'll die, you know? And there's clothes everywhere, you know, and socks and underwear and toothpaste splatted on the thing. And I'm just like, this? Yeah, right? Right. They marry us anyways. Praise God. And a bunch of guys eating, just shoving it in. And they're tired. You know why? Because Jesus is a doer. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he went, he did stuff. Yeah. And the disciples were like, we got to eat. Got to get that fuel back in, you know? If I got to get this metabolism on track, I got to feed myself, you know, and get that sleep. And so there they are shoving themselves full. And all of a sudden, someone pushes away from the table. You know, and if they're like most guys, like, huh? It's always the skinny ones that get me. You ever seen Steon eat? That guy. I'm like, dude, where does it go, you know? He just eats and eats and eats. Our missionary, Spencer Baker, the guy eats. I said, I've never seen a 50-year-old man eat like a teenager, and he looks like Gumby, you know? Like, just, here's these guys who are just shoving it in. All of a sudden, they look over, and they just, but then they realize one by one, okay, now he's putting a towel on. And it kind of looks, you ever looked at a waiter? They wear those aprons. Yeah. And he comes by and he kneels before Peter and starts washing his feet. And Peter has a discourse and the Lord tells him, hey, you need to get cleaned up. Just be quiet. Let me do my thing. And after Peter, he goes to the next one. And he goes to the next one. Buddy, do you know what I think? I think he looks at Judas, and Judas has got tears streaming down his face because he knows. See, I'm going to say something. I don't want you to take the wrong way. But I think Judas runs out of that meal just hating himself. Peter doesn't, because Peter is full of himself. He's like, I'll never deny you. Keep washing. That's good. Yeah, all right. And Judas is kind of like, he knows. Lord, you know, don't you? And he said, yeah. That look. And he just keeps washing. He goes all the way through. You know what Jesus did? He served when nobody else wanted to. Let me say this. And maybe for the benefit, not exclusively, but especially for the benefit of some of our young men who are looking at ministry. That's ministry. The person that says, I don't want to greet, I don't want to clean a toilet, I don't want to teach a kid's class, I don't want to volunteer, that's beneath me. If serving is beneath you, leading is beyond you. You know what Jesus Christ does? He gets down and he washes. Now you may go, well, how does this have anything to do with being sleepless? I'm glad you asked that. You know what happens in chapter 18? You know, it's interesting, because this thing starts in chapter 13. In chapter 14, he talks about himself being the way, the truth, and life, and going to the Father. Chapter 15, you can stroll through there if you'd like to. Just kind of go, this is kind of like drive-by Bible, amen? Chapter 15, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, more of that same thing. The work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The work of the Holy Spirit whenever he comes down on them and then he's inside of them, which they didn't have that quite yet. And then in chapter number 17, there's this prayer. And John, listen, you may not have ever taken note of this. You know what the parallel passage of John 17 is? Where the entire passage is the Lord's Prayer, Jesus talking to his Father. Do you know what the parallel passage is to that? Matthew 26, where they go into that garden. And he takes Peter and James and John. And he goes, you other guys stay here and you rest. I'm going to bring these three with me. He had told the others to rest. He told Peter and James and John to come with him. And what does the Bible say? In Luke, it says he went about a stone's cast away from them, fell on his face, and he started praying. In that time of prayer, somewhere along the way, although it does say that they fell asleep, somewhere John got something, because he writes down John 17. It's a long conversation. From chapter 13 all the way through 17. This is one night, guys. Chapter 18 shows up. And all of a sudden, they pass that brook, the brook Kidron, where David had passed when Absalom tried to kill his own dad and betrayed his own father, much like Judas betrayed Jesus. And they cross that brook, and they come over, and they come with torches and lanterns and swords. You know, it's kind of like, you ever seen these I don't know, someone didn't pay their taxes or something, some stupid thing, And you know, they look like an 80-year-old man, you know, and the SWAT teams descend on the house. It's like, I think you may have overshot that one, you know? You ever see those things? This is kind of like that. And the Roman soldiers come and they got their swords drawn. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Natural posture when someone comes to you like that is to, you know, Jesus does. I am he. And they fell backwards. And then Judas kisses him. And he betrays him. Can I remind you that three times before that takes place, he goes to his disciples. He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? What were they doing? Why do you suppose they were doing that? You think maybe they were tired? You ever go all day, then you eat a late meal, then you go for a hike? Listen, me and my pastor friends were talking about this. Some churches do prayer meetings on Wednesday night. You ever found someone like an hour after the prayer meeting is over? And you go to wake them up, you're like, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's funny. I really got through to God on that one. You know why? You know why they were on their faces? Listen, you stop moving after you go and go and go. And all this emotional stuff builds up and you hear things, you're trying to put everything together and your body just goes, I just need a rest. You know who never slept that night? Jesus Christ. He stayed up to wash feet and he stayed up to talk to his Father about the feet he was just washing. You know why he's up at night? To serve. Why are you up at night? Don't get me the wrong way. You got problems. You have issues. God cares about them. I think we should take on more of the character of Jesus Christ. He stayed up because of service. Can I give you this in closing? He stayed up because of sin. That very night turns into the longest night of Jesus Christ's life. Because it goes from being betrayed by Judas to being attacked and accused and assaulted by Roman soldiers, the Gentiles, and by the religious leadership of his own people. Can I get you to consider as we get closer to Easter what the Bible says about Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke? He prayed, as it were, great sweat drops of blood. They call that hematohydrosis. For all you medical people in here, you say, what is that? Extreme pressure and concern and lack of sleep. And to this day, medical science does not completely understand it. They just know that the capillaries explode from the pressure, and out through the glands of sweat comes blood. Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And is he down there going, and Lord, you know my car, I need a new car. And Lord, you know my wife, I need a new wife. And Lord, you know what he's doing? He's praying for them. Yeah. He goes, Lord, Peter, he has no idea what he's about to step into. I tried to tell him. I did the best I could. Lord, I know Judas is off. I know what your word says. I know what the book says, Lord, but I thought maybe he'd turn. Hey, I only goes through all the disciples. Don't in the Bible say that we have a high priest? We have an advocate with the Father. What does he stay up for all night? He stays up serving us. And in that same night, all the false accusers came together. And they said, I heard this. They all got on Facebook and shared stories. None of which were true. Don't get quiet on me. You know what I mean. I'm like, well, I heard, and I don't know, but I think, and well, you know, if you read this, you know, some obscure fifth-rate publication from some 20-year-old sitting in his underwear in his basement that wrote it, you know, his mom's basement, you know, and all of a sudden this is verifiable truth because it's on the interwebs. Well, I heard this and I heard this. Look at John chapter 18. What kept him up at night? Before I read the verses, I remember the story of a king named David. And King David was a righteous king. He was a good king. Let me throw this out there. If God wrote a book about your life and it ran several chapters, and in all of that, they only find two problems in your life, you're not doing as bad as people might think. David wasn't sinless, but boy, he was a good man. But I'm going to tell you, one time he went for a stroll at night, and he saw something that he wasn't supposed to have, and he manipulated the situation to get what he wanted. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think he slept well that night. I don't think he slept well the night after that. I think every night that passed until Nathan stood in front of him and said, "Thou art the man," I think it was pretty sleepless. How do I do this? And how do I get Uriah? And how do I cover this up? And how do I cover my tracks? And what if they find out? And I think he went without sleep. Why? Because of his sin. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand. You ever lose some sleep because of sin? Look at John chapter 18. John 18, look if you would at verse 27. Peter denied him again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas, that's the high priest, unto the hall of judgment. And the next phrase, and it was what? Early. Next day, buddy. We're no longer a night. Guess who was up all night long? Oh, and by the way, in one of the Gospels it mentions, I think in the Gospel of Matthew, that the Jews that brought Jesus to Pilate, they wouldn't go in that room in that judgment place. You say, why? Because that's Gentile and that's defiled. But Jesus, you go on in. You know, I think they did. I think they went home and they slept. You know who didn't sleep? Jesus Christ. Oh, and by the way, that's not where the story ends. It was early. We still have a whole day of false accusations, a whole day of corroboration with people that are lying about Jesus Christ. You have a whole day of religious leaders turning him over to the Gentile leadership. You got Pontius Pilate going, I have, and by the way, Pontius Pilate, he slept fine the night before. I can tell you who didn't, his wife. Because she gets a dream about this man, Jesus, don't touch him, don't mess with him. And then all of a sudden in John chapter 18, as you see the conversation unfold, they say, Jesus, that you say you're the Son of God. And without missing a beat, he goes, what do you say? His eyes lock with the eyes of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, he's getting nervous in the service. All of a sudden, he's like, I know we're getting close to the end of the service, but I got to go to the bathroom. Why? Because I don't want to hear the rest of this. And all of a sudden, he goes, you know what? Herod, you should go talk to Herod. So they play this game with Jesus. He is up all night. Not because he did something wrong, because I did. Because you did. It's not just about the rapist and the murderer and the guy on Skid Row and death row. You say, whose sins put him there? My sins did. Sins of pride and arrogance and lust and envy and jealousy and sins of self-righteousness and idol worship and worship of self. All of it. All night long he's up. I don't know about you, but man, if I don't sleep, I am not the same guy. My temper is short. I don't have that much power in this world. But I can tell you this, if I'd gone without sleep and I could snap fingers and angels would show up and blow everybody away, I'd be like, Lord, something about forgiving them, but in the meantime, can we just kill them? I would. He didn't. With the clarity of a million sharpened minds, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. No sleep. Oh, by the way, I want you to see something in your Old Testament. Go to Exodus chapter number 12. You see, in the Old Testament, there's this thing called the Passover lamb. Anybody remember that? As we were reminded of that recently, obviously in verse number 3, it talks about a lamb. In verse 4, the lamb. Look at verse 5. What does it say? What does verse 5 start with? You have to make him yours. If you've never been born again, you need to trust Jesus Christ today. He died for your sin, but it doesn't get applied to your account until you receive the payment. When a bank, when the IRS wants to send money, some are like, oh, tax refund time. And some of you are like, oh, tax time. When the IRS wants to send you money, you know what they have to do? They have to verify it's a living account. They don't just send money to a black hole. So you know what the Lord says? I made this payment for you, but you got to make me yours. He talks about this lamb, and there's a lot of things we could point out about it. It's innocent. It's without blemish. You can take it from the sheep or the goats. You say, well, a sheep is God's people and a goat is not God's child. Why would he say that? Because when he's on that cross, he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look down, if you would, at verse number six. Verse number six. As he speaks of this lamb, look what he says here. And ye shall keep it. You know what they did with that lamb? They sleep deprived that lamb before it was slaughtered. Innocently for the lives of non-innocent ones. The just, Jesus Christ, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know what he did? He stayed up all night. And they smacked him around and they pulled out his beard. And they said, did you really say you could destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Show us how. And as his head bobs down, he cries out to his father and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what he never does? He doesn't fall asleep until he takes that last dying breath. See, the Bible says in Matthew 27, it was about the ninth hour. The ninth hour of what? Of the following day from being arrested. You know what that means? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He is up for 40 hours pretty much. Why? Because he did something wrong? Because of you. Some of you, you know what you do? You take for granted that when you're up at night and you're going through things, he's not there. Oh, he's there. Amen. He was there before you were there.
Yep. Right.
You know what he was up for? To make sure you got through your storm.
Yep.
He didn't get them out of it. He got them through it. So why was he up? To serve. Dirty feet. And to pray for dirty souls. Why was he up? Because of my sin. Can I ask you a question? Is it too much to ask of his people that every once in a while they get up? And whether it's getting up to come to an old altar and deal with some things, or whether it's getting up and saying, Lord, I'll pray. Lord, I'll be the one. Lord, I'll serve. Lord, I'll confess. You know what happens after a while? You just get hard. I need my sleep. Beauty sleep ain't working for you. You may want to unclench that fist and just say, Lord, I'd rather go without a little bit of sleep and rest in you than have all the rest of this world and all the vacations and all the paradises of a thousand lives and not be in fellowship with you. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us. Lord, you gave everything. Lord, I'm sorry that there are times where we think taking out the trash is a big deal. And it shouldn't be. Lord, you gave up sleep. You gave up sinlessness. Lord, you should have been the one that they washed the feet of. You should have been the one that was served that day. Lord, you did the serving. You did the sacrificing. You did the dying. Thank you. Lord, thank you for enduring the abuse. Thank you for shedding that blood. Lord, I know this world mocks you. Appreciate what you did for us. God, when we get tired, would you remind us? Lord, you're up at night too. Maybe you're a Christian and you're tired. You're tired of serving. Remember what he went through. Hey, can I say this? If you're tired of sin, run to him. I cannot imagine a being so gracious. That the culmination of concern and stress and burden is not of his own. It's mine. That's why the Bible says, consider him, not consider the church. Not consider the brethren. Not consider the pastor. Consider him. I didn't read the rest of the verse, but it goes like this. The whole assembly, the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. See, that lamb was destined to die. While we don't know everything about it, we know this. He didn't rest. You know when he rested? When he said, it is finished. That's when he rested. Let me say this, Christian, and I mean this as graciously as I can say it. Rest is on the other side. Know about you, but I want to get to the end of my race and I want to say, I fought a good fight. I'm tired. I'm weary. And I can't wait to see the face of my Savior. I don't mind getting to the other side a little wore out. I actually feel like you did something, you know? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask a simple question. if you're here and you know that you are a born-again child of God, would you, just by raising your hand, claim Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yep, I'm born again. I'm saved. Thank you. Let me ask this question. If you're here and you couldn't raise your hand, can I just ask you a simple question? What would keep you from receiving what God wants for you? See, what does He want for me? He wants to be in restored relationship with you, in fellowship, in communion with you. But you know what keeps you away from Him? Sin. You say, well, I can't become perfect like Him. I'm glad you recognize that. You know what He did? Because you couldn't do that. He came in human form. And He had people reject Him. People mock Him. And He was kept up all night on more than one occasion. And on that final night, He knew He would face all of your sin on His body as He hung on that tree. And Bible says that God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is, think of it as a love for that which is unrighteous and wicked and sinful. He took all of it and put it on Him. That'll keep you up. You know why He did that? So you wouldn't have to be kept up with your own sin. What a great God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you've gone to church, maybe you think you're self-religious, but if you died today, you're not 100% sure that you'd be in heaven, can I extend not an offer to you? Here's how it goes. After church, if you're willing to, I'd love to show you from the Bible. Just come get me. We'll go off somewhere private, and I'll open the Bible and show you what it means to be saved, how you can be born again, and how that Lamb died for you 2,000 years ago so that you could live. Let me give you this final thought. They say that when you're tired and you can't sleep, you should count sheep. I've never tried it. I just never found myself willing to try that. Bah, bah. I got goats at my house. It's like I got it already. But I can say this. You know what keeps Him up at night? His sheep. He loves you. He cares about you. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. What a great God. What a great Savior. If you're saved, appreciate Him. Enjoy Him. If you're not, you can be saved today. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. No, I don't want you guys coming here next week and saying, Pastor, I couldn't sleep all week long because of your message. I take no liability for that. But I'm thankful you came today. Hope you got something from the Word. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And for those in discipleship, Brother Craig, is food here? Yes, sir. Okay. Do we need to set anything up down there? Do they have plates and all that, or we need to get all that? Okay. All right. So, Brother Tim, can you round up the crew? Okay. We'll set up tables. Maybe give it about, some of you guys are in class. Maybe you head down there and help Brother Tim get that set up. And we'll meet down there in just a couple minutes. Let me say this. We're going to pray. We're going to be dismissed. But if you're one of those people that's here, and your conscience keeps you up, and when I ask the question, if you're 100% sure that if you died today, you'd be in heaven, you're like, ugh. You know? You ever had that moment where you're like, someone's like, man, I'll be there for you. Like, really? And they're like, yeah. And it's kind of like, that's not very reassuring, right? Yep. If that's you and you're kind of like, I don't know, please, I'm begging you, before you leave here today, I don't care about the food. I don't care about whatever else is going on. I want you to find rest for your soul. And the only way you're going to do it is through Jesus Christ. You won't do it by reaching nirvana. You won't do it by reading the Upanishads of the Eastern religions and Hindu literature. You won't get there any other way. You'll get there through a man named Jesus Christ. And if you're here wrestling with that, don't wrestle anymore. Just stop moving and go, okay, Lord, I'm listening. And I'd love to show you from the Bible. 10 minutes of your time could result in eternity being saved. Amen. It's worth it. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you so much for being here. And going to ask Brother Johnny, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, sir?